Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Feel weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Cornersville.
Repeat that.
Cornersville.
Corners.
Corner.
C. Okay.
Yes. Corner. What did you think I said?
Corner.
No. Corner. Like. At the corner.
Like corn.
Yes, like corn.
Corn
I'm
on the
coming
cob.
Undone. Yes, corn. Yeah, but with a C.
Takes a part of me.
Exactly. Where?
Shout out to Daniel Paulding.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that guy in a long time. Where it would not be weird to find a Strange Brew location is Northport, Alabama, and their new location is opening very soon. It's going to be an all drive-through location, four drive-throughs. It's got like it's like a Sonic of coffee at that point. They got guys out there, girls out there on skates bringing you your coffee, which could be a horrible idea. Don't do that. It's a terrible idea now that I think about it. So don't do that, but go to if you're traveling between Starkville and Alabama, or in Alabama, between Starkville and Tuscaloosa, you've got another Strange Brew stop to make. Go check out the new Northport location and enjoy Strange Brew Coffee House coffee.
I guarantee you it's going to be better than the trip to Checkers that you and I had after State got demolished by Alabama 2 years ago.
Have the robot waiter.
That was awful.
What did you need? Like
ordered,
I told the robot.
John ordered this hamburger, and it was like nothing on it but burger.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, there is no way that's going to be correct.
You were correct. And I agreed
pulled
with
up,
you.
But she was like, chicken sandwich? Nope.
Nah, dog.
Nope.
No. As a matter of fact, it's not. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. When you need printing, you don't want to go with amateurs. You want to go with professionals. You want to go with people who've been doing it for a long time. How's 30 years of experience in the business sound to you? I'm going to give you this website, pipridgeland.com, and you're going to look at that website, and you're going to be amazed. Amazed, I said, at the number of services that can be offered to you by Pip Printing and Signs. There's nothing they can't do for your business from a printing, from a marketing, from a graphic and signage standpoint. If you own a business, if you manage a business, you know how important printing is to you, you need to get in touch with Pip Printing and Signs. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. Or, like I said, the website is pipridgeland.com. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you certainly are looking for it. And so, as I always say, It's time to change up. It's time to get new gear, and you're going to do it at College Corner. I'm looking through. I haven't made a decision yet. We got a lot of people who messaged us about watching Thunder and Lightning, trying to get a gift card. I mean, we got some people driving flat out recklessly here. I got to be totally honest with you. I don't know how I feel about that, but I think I know who our winners are going to be. But I will announce the winners for that on tomorrow's show.
Amazing that I woke up at like 6:30 this morning.
20 notifications.
There was like 20 people that had already sent me something. These people are listening to the show at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
on the way to work somewhere.
Yeah, I'm glad that's not us. Certainly not
me. More power to these people. We and apparently we helped them get through their workday in some form or fashion.
I'm happy to do it. All right, so I'll announce the winners on tomorrow's show for those two $20 gift cards from College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. This weekend, if you're in town, well, it'll be a little less crowded at Sunday brunch. You might. Will the, any chance they'll see Robbie Faulk at Sunday brunch this week? What are our Faulk odds? What are the Faulkin odds of that?
They're probably at zero again this week.
Ooh, that's a shame.
I know. I'm not going to be in Starkville Sunday morning because it's just going to be a late night.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I won't be in Starkville.
I'm very nervous about my ability to make it through this football game. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But if you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, any weekend, make sure a trip to Restaurant Tyler is on your to-do list. For the best meal in town, it's easy to find. It's at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only all the locations that are nearby if you live in Central Mississippi, but most importantly, how they're going to help you manage your money, how they're going to help you invest, how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Nowadays, when you have questions about your money, you don't want to have to wait around. You don't want to have to be on hold. You don't want to have to deal with people who don't know what they're talking about. You want to be able to call someone and get a straight answer. That's what Priority One Bank offers you. That small town service, but still with all of the big time financial services that you'd expect from a bank like Priority One. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Well, later in the show, we're going to talk to ESPN's Roddy Jones. He's on the call this weekend along with Mark Jones for Mississippi State and Arizona State. Wanted to get his thoughts on both teams. But, Robbie, we haven't really had a major league overreaction yet. We haven't had one where, like, oh, my gosh, I saw this in week one, and it's completely changed my line of thinking about everything that I ever held dear. So that's
like
sort of my
Colorado question. Last year.
Yes, well, for some, not for you and I. But let's ask you that question now. Week one, what's the biggest change in the way you thought about Mississippi State that you have now that you didn't have prior to the first game?
Yeah, I just wanted to see it. I wanted to see the offense in action. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I didn't think that the offense was going to be exciting or successful or good. But I'm not going to lie. I didn't say it as much on the show, but I did have in the back of my mind that Mississippi State just can't have an offense that runs with this tempo. They can't have an offense that's throwing the football 50 yards down the field. It's just – until I see it, it's not going to happen. So I have a little more clarity on the offense and how it's going to work, and I feel a lot more secure about the offense. I'll feel even more secure if they go to Arizona State and do some similar things there. And then I know that we talked about the defense, and we're still not, like, super high on that side of the ball, but I thought they were well coached. They seemed to have a plan. They seemed to, you know, be a unit that was – for the most part, pretty consistent and disciplined, and they didn't look like a bunch of guys just running around not knowing what they're doing. So I don't know if I had like a huge takeaway yet, but I do feel much better about the Jeff Lebby era. Like I feel different about this team than I did after week one last year. And the scores weren't all that different between Mississippi State and Eastern Kentucky and Southeastern Louisiana. Mm-hmm. They're, what, 6 points different than they were last year?
Yeah.
But it just feels a lot different with Lebby after this game than it did with Zach Arnett and Kevin Barbe.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. You know, similar scores, but if you watch the games, they were not the same. They just weren't. Last year, you know, as we said several times during the Southeast Louisiana game, we were looking at each other going, you know, what's going on here? This isn't work. There wasn't that flow to it. Whereas in this game, if it doesn't rain, I think the final score of this game is probably like 63-7, 66-7, something like that. I thought that the rain was the only reason they didn't have more points on the board than they did. I think the thing, my week one, if I wouldn't even call it an overreaction, my week one reaction was to see Shapen and the way he was able to run the ball. That's been something I've been thinking about a lot this offseason, is that the QB run was so crucial for Lebby when he was at Ole Miss with what Corral was able to give them. And then Gabriel, to a certain extent, last year, I mean, Gabriel did have 12 rushing touchdowns. He didn't have a ton of yards, but he got the ball in the end zone a lot. And so was Shapen going to be able to provide that same spark, that same ability to this offense? Because I just don't think this offense works if you've got a quarterback who can't be mobile. I think that's, you know, among other reasons, why Will Rogers knew, you know, that he had no home here at Mississippi State, because he couldn't run the football the way this offense requires it. And so for Shapen to see that mobility and the toughness, would I like to have seen a little more, you know, self-preservation mode out there? Probably so. But he's going to have to – there's going to be times this year where he has to run the football. And Cole Kublik brought that up. You know, he does his weekly reviews, and he was talking to me. He's like, hey, if Shapen's going to run like that, this offense is going to be very, very hard to stop. So seeing Shapen being able to run the football was very important to me. The other side of the ball, I mean, I don't know if it's confirmation bias, but it's kind of like what you said, right? We spent the whole offseason saying, not sure about this defense. I don't know how they're going to be. And to have only given up 7 points, it wasn't an overly impressive first showing, right? They didn't make a lot of explosive plays. They didn't create a lot of negative plays. They were able to get off the field, and that's good, especially like we mentioned, those short yardage situations. They were really good in those. But, you know, to not have any sacks in the first half was kind of surprising for me. So call it an overreaction if you want, but I mean my thought process that State's, when they win, State's going to have to win shootouts is even more solid than ever before. I worry about this defense when we get into SEC. I'll be honest with you, I worry about them a little bit this week as well. From a outside Mississippi State perspective, when you look around the schedule, I don't think either one of us can we both thought Mississippi State was going to be able to beat Florida in a couple of weeks, but watching that game, Robbie, I really feel good about State's chances. If they can beat Arizona State this weekend, and that's another game where maybe the perception has flipped a little, because Arizona State was so impressive that game has kind of gone up on the difficulty scale for me. But I really feel confident about State's ability to beat Florida in 3 weeks.
I probably feel more confident in that now than I do Arizona State going into that one, which feels kind of strange just because it's a road game. And, you know, right now they're a touchdown underdog. It's not going to be easy. But I'm interested to see what happens here, because it looks like DJ Lagway is about to step in for them with Graham Mertz injured. You know, does he kind of take over there? Or is it going to be a major, you know, transition for him coming into the SEC? I don't know. But it's – whatever it is, it's not good for them at all. Like, I think that this is a danger zone for them. And I just do not see Billy Napier making it out. That's why I didn't understand why people were so – adamant that this team was going to be significantly better and that, you know, they were going to prove something. I don't see how it's possible. And we haven't seen anything that should suggest that Billy Napier can pull them out of this either.
No, we absolutely have not. So that's something I feel a little bit better about. I feel a little bit better. I still would take them to the Aggies to win, but you got to feel a little bit better about State's chances with Texas A&M. They were not very impressive, only 13 points. Now, that Notre Dame defense is really, really good. They got a lot of talent on that side of the ball, but only 13 points at home. And Connor Wiegman is a guy that, you know, I kind of talked about this offseason. I was like, I really like him. I think he can be a big-time player. He looked awful. Now, again, that's a really good defense. Notre Dame's defense is much better than Mississippi State's, but just in terms of where do I see that game? I think State's chances are better today than I did 7 days ago. You agree?
I'm trying to find like some consistency at quarterback ever since Johnny Manziel left. Like, it has been a struggle for them.
It really has.
And, you know, some of that's offense. Some of it's just they just can't find anybody that steps up. And they're recruiting 5-stars, 4-star quarterbacks. I mean, these guys aren't scrubs. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I mean, they had Kyler Murray and let him go.
Every year, their team is super exciting preseason, and they got all this talent and all that, mm-hmm. and they never live up to their expectations. And most of the time, they don't even come close to it. So as long as that's the case, I'm going to have Mississippi State in position to win that game. You know, last year notwithstanding, I think that they have a shot against Texas A&M most years.
Is there one player, you know, I mentioned Shapen, is there a player that stands out that you have different a different view of after week one? I mean, Kevin Coleman might be that guy. He was I knew he was going to be explosive, but he even exceeded what I thought. Jordan Mosley could be an option there. Is there somebody you're like, man, I wasn't expecting much from them, but they really delivered?
Stand out, especially Mosley, who we've talked about so many times as a potential breakout guy, to finally see it. I think that was huge to take that step forward and actually do it on the field. That's what they've been waiting on. We have not seen that at any point during his career. There was not a point during his career at Mississippi State where he had a 60-plus yard play like he did on the third play of the game.
Right.
So him kind of becoming a go-to wide receiver for the Bulldogs, I think, is a major development. So he would definitely be up there for me, I think. I'm trying to think anybody on the defensive side. Isaac Smith, I think.
That's a good choice.
We've had high expectations for him, but last year, you know, he got ran over against LSU that game and wherever it was. I think it was LSU.
He
didn't have like a standout moment, and that was a guy that you're expecting to do big things. And some people were already ready to kind of throw him out. And now he's your leading tackler the other day. He looks like he is in his element at that box safety position, the field safety. He really looks like he fits that to a T. That's going to be a guy that is going to come up. He's going to strike you. He's going to defend the run really well. He's going to defend the middle of the field. I like Isaac Smith a lot, and I think he has a chance to be a breakout star for State.
Yeah, Isaac Smith is a really good choice from you. He 11 tackles in the first game. That's really impressive. I thought that he was very good. Need to see it, maybe a little bit more from him in pass coverage, and you'll have that opportunity this weekend. Arizona State, we're obviously go much greater detail tomorrow when we do the three Ps, but 499 yards of offense, and it was almost split down the middle with passing and running. So this is a very balanced offense, at least in week one of the season for Arizona State. We'll be interested to see how they attack Mississippi State. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. You got all day to cook. We got all day from start to finish. Mississippi State will be the last thing that's on college football-wise that evening. So enjoy it and enjoy a great day with friends and family and with beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Nothing beats a trip to Two Brothers for some smoked wings, some tacos, some prime rib sandwich. Maybe some pork rind nachos. I don't know if any icons of rock and roll would agree with me, but maybe they would. Maybe they would. And, of course, if you want to try something new, go check out Starkville's best new restaurant, The Older Brother, for those fancy sandwiches. That's right. Enjoy. The food there is just, it's just different than you can get anywhere else. Robbie really put it best a few weeks ago when he said, that's a restaurant that you could put in New Orleans right now and nobody would say anything. It would fit right in. So go check them out in the heart of the Cotton District. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and The Older Brother. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of being the best in business technology. When you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, new laptops, Advantage Business Systems is the ones to call. And then if you need service on something they've sold you, they don't give you a 1-800 number. They don't tell you to make an appointment with somebody who'll be there in a week to 10 days. They're in Mississippi. You're just going to call the same people back. They're going to take care of it. A lot of times they can take care of it the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, make sure a trip to Maroon & Co. is on the list. Last weekend, you guys had a great time at Maroon & Co. They told me they were one of their most busiest weekends they've ever had. Let's try to make that an every home game experience. And we're going to make it easy for you to save a little money with our promo code. Thunder15 saves you 15% off regular price items. They have a selection unlike anybody else. They've got gear that you cannot find anywhere else. They've got all the logos that you want. It's all right there under one roof. When you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. All right, earlier today, I talked to Roddy Jones, former Georgia Tech running back, now color commentator for ESPN. He'll be on the call this weekend for Mississippi State and Arizona State. Wanted to get his thoughts on both teams. Let's go down to my interview with ESPN's Roddy Jones. In the Valley of the Sun this Saturday night, and I do mean night here in the Central Time Zone, Mississippi State and Arizona State. On the call for ESPN, Mark Jones and Roddy Jones. Roddy joins me now, former Georgia Tech running back. I guess you played here in Starkville 2009, is that right?
I did, yeah. I was on that 09 team. You guys came out a little different defense than we expected. It was a little bit of a slog for a while. We had a good team that year, though. It was a great trip.
So when you work with Mark, how many thesauruses do you have to go through to keep up with him? Because that guy will break out what I call a mayonnaise word pretty quick on you, man. He likes the big words.
He does. He threw out prestidigitation last week. And I am not going to lie. Like, I have no – my pride is not too big to admit. Without the context clues of how he used it, I had no idea what prestidigitation meant. So I try – he keeps me on my toes with that. You know, we've got something planned for the rest of the year where when he throws out one of those words, we're going to have some fun with it. It's a super interesting story, and it kind of goes back to his youth. He told me a story a few years ago. I believe it goes his grandfather or his grandparents wouldn't let him either go out and play or there was some reward that he got after he learned a new word in the dictionary. And so, over the course of years, you know, he went through the whole dictionary, basically. Yeah. So he's got a recall unlike anybody that I've ever worked with. And yeah, the words are lofty, but they're so well placed. And, yeah, and when you look up and learn the definition, you're like, wow, that fit perfectly. And that was a better descriptor than I ever could have had. So I certainly learn a lot.
That's really cool. So this question might not work in the transfer portal era. You know, when you played at Georgia Tech, right, there was always somebody on the team, or maybe it was you, that when you traveled to Clemson or to Virginia or to North Carolina, like, you know how that trip's going to go, right? Because you've been there before. Does a new environment like this, Mississippi State's never played at Arizona State. Nobody on this team has ever played in this stadium, played in front of these fans. Does that really mean anything anymore when we're talking about a team full of guys who haven't played at Mississippi State very much at all?
I think it means something just because, I mean, you look at the Mississippi State roster and most of these guys are from east of the Mississippi, as you would expect. And so when we went out, we went and played, furthest west we ever went was the Sun Bowl in El Paso. And the terrain is just so much different, to be honest with you, that you are, you know, you're a little more perked up on the bus into the hotel. You're a little more perked up on the drive into the stadium. The vibe is different, and there are going to be elements that are certainly different. I haven't looked at the weather for Saturday, but I've been checking the weather every day, and it's over 100 degrees there every single day. Yeah. So, like, if it's a late game local time, it's a 7:30 local kick, as you said, like 9:30 Central time, 10:30. I'm from Atlanta. I live in Atlanta. 10:30 my time. So that will certainly be different for guys. I think that's probably the bigger deal. How do you adjust the schedule for that? And if guys like to go on a walk outside, like I, for late games, would go on just a little walk around the hotel. We weren't allowed to go anywhere, but just a little walk around the parking lot in the hotel. It's going to be like smoking hot when guys do that. So that's the difference. I don't really, you know, once you get to the stadium, it's not all that different, but I do think the terrain is different and it's a really cool experience. Like some of my most memorable trips on the bus into the hotel were seeing the cornfields roll by when we went to Notre Dame, where we're seeing the terrain, the mountains and the desert when we were in El Paso. Honestly, going to Starkville, you know, seeing it was a long drive in. I can't remember where we stayed, but it was a long drive in, just sort of seeing the terrain of Mississippi before we got to state. So it was those things are really cool and they are memorable.
When you look at Mississippi State on film from that first game, I was impressed with the speed, the tempo. I knew it was going to happen, but until you see it and you experience it and you're trying to watch the game and you can't even turn your head because the ball's getting snapped, it's difficult to wrap your mind around. What was your just initial thoughts of what you saw from Mississippi State last week?
I think you saw a lot of what you wanted to see offensively. First off, the tempo was there. And from what I remember, there weren't too many issues pre-snap, if there were any. Going back and watching the film. The second thing was Blake Shapen. I was really impressed with Blake Shapen, and it's easy to forget sort of what he was at his best at Baylor. But his best at Baylor was pretty darn good. Like, kept them in games. Certainly, they weren't super talented around him, particularly last year. But his accuracy, his ability to drive the ball down the field, I thought was really impressive. He seemed comfortable in the offense. He moved a little better than I remembered. I would like to see him slide. Like, I don't want him taking all those hits. But I think what you wanted to see was the operation of the offense, the ability for the quarterback to deliver. You mentioned the speed on the outside. I do a lot in ACC territory with ACC Network and ACC Radio, so I paid a lot of attention to Kevin Coleman last year at Louisville. Like, he's a real player for this Mississippi State team. I was really impressed with the speed of Mario Craver, especially as a true freshman. I would imagine Jeff Lebby, I don't know how much, like, if he'll play every snap, I don't know if there'll be packages, but I would imagine Jeff Lebby is designing up ways to get him the ball. Jordan Mosley was fantastic. So I think the receiving core really stood out, along with Blake Shapen's ability to deliver the football. And with those two things together, certainly in the SEC, it gets more difficult. It's not going to look like Eastern Kentucky, but, like, those are guys that have real speed and real talent. And so I think it plays some in the SEC as well, and they'll be able to move the ball and put up some points.
You mentioned Shapen and some receivers there. One thing I was surprised by on Saturday was State didn't have more explosive plays in the run game. You know, with this offense, I think it gets a misnomer sometimes that it's a wide-open passing game. It is really at its heart a running offense. That's what he was able to do at Ole Miss and at Oklahoma. Were you surprised that they weren't more explosive in the run game than they were against an FCS opponent?
A little bit. I think most of the big runs were from Shapen, right? Like, it was sort of the quarterback scrambles that got them for the most part.
He had the end around to Whittemore, which was
there was the big one there too.
40 yards there.
Right. So yeah, I was a little surprised there. I chalk some of that up to first game stuff. I don't know. You know, when you score that quickly early on, you can tend to go very simple with things, and in the pass game, that can show up as being super explosive. It can, you know, your athletes can just athlete. And Eastern Kentucky helped with that some. But I think in the run game, sometimes when you're that simple, it doesn't challenge a defense quite as much. So maybe that was part of it. I was surprised there, though, and I think they will have to do a better job of that, especially against Arizona State, because if you get into a situation where you're not having that early success on early downs, I think Arizona State's got some pass rushers up front that can cause some issues for this Mississippi State offensive line. So they're going to need that to be better. And look, the positive, as you mentioned, like, this is what Jeff Lebby has done. He's one of the best in terms of finding ways to create runs, to crease and opportunities to crease defenses. Lane Kiffin is like the godfather of that. 3rd and 7, let's run the ball. You know, 3rd and 7, you know, on the plus 49, we're going to run the ball, and it's either going to set up a 4th and short, or a lot of times with he and when Jeff Lebby was there, you'd end up with a 20-yard gain. And it's, you know, you're looking up, and why are we running on 3rd and 7? Well, because the defense is set up for a pass. Everyone thinks it's going to be a pass. You hit one crease, get a block on a linebacker, and you're up on a safety really quickly. So I do think that will improve naturally, even as the competition ratchets up. I do have some questions about, you know, how explosive are the guys they do have at running back. I have questions about that too. There's just not a lot of data there. There's not a lot to hang your hat on. But I do think Blake, the Jeff Lebby is one of the best at it. So I would expect it to get better.
I'm not sure which stat from Arizona State was more impressive, the nearly 500 yards of total offense or the less than 120 yards that they gave up on defense. Just a dominant performance by the Sun Devils out there. You know, which side of the ball, when you look at them on tape, which one were you more impressed with?
I was probably more impressed with the defense, because the defense is really what caused that game to get away. And I you know, we don't want to overreact to week one. Arizona State looked really good. It's a team that's got aspirations of making a bowl game, and I think they've got the talent to be able to do it. That game got away from Wyoming really early, and I think there was a little bit of shell shock on Wyoming's part. They've got a new head coach. They threw a pick six on, like, the second play of the game, and then they threw another interception on, like, two drives later. You know, Arizona State goes down and scores. That game was 21-0 before you could blink, like, before Wyoming even had a chance to take two sips of Gatorade. It was 21-0. And so I do think that the dominance was sort of a lot of the dominance was because of the way the tone was set early. That being said, I was really impressed by the defense. They've got some really long athletic guys on the back end. Shamari Simmons, their nickel, was their MVP on defense a year ago. 6 foot, 195 pound nickel, but he plays longer. Like he plays like a 6'2", 6'3" guy. He just covers a ton of ground and is able to, and is a really good tackler as well. He's our leading tackler a year ago. And I mentioned a couple of pass rushers. I thought Clayton Smith, number 10, and Elijah O'Neal, number 15, did a really good job getting after the quarterback against a Wyoming team that's probably not built to drop back as much as they did. The offense was impressive. I thought Sam Levitt was pretty good for him. Started a few games at Michigan State last year, played a little bit, but you know, being the starter coming in, he looked comfortable in that offense run by Marcus Arroyo. But I was more impressed by the defense.
If I did the math right, Arizona State with 499 yards of total offense, so right at the 500 mark, but yeah, really balanced, 258 passing, 241 on the ground. If you're Mississippi State, which side, what are you more concerned with, the running game or the passing game for the Sun Devils?
I don't think you can let them have it both ways. So I would be more concerned with the run game. A lot of that is this is an offense that wants to get the ball to their playmakers in space. Cam Scatabue, number four, and Jordan Tyson, number zero, were really the two guys that they tried to force feed last week. And I would anticipate that going forward, they will continue to do that. They've got some other players, and they use a ton of personnel groupings. They use a ton of personnel groupings, and those personnel groupings don't always match the picture that you get. So for instance, there's a play down near the goal line last week. They're inside the 5 yard line and they're in 23 personnel, two backs, three tight ends. Well, both of the backs are lined up next to each other, one at quarterback, one at running back. There's two tight ends. One is in line on the right side of the line of scrimmage. The other one's a wing on the right side of the line of scrimmage. And then you've got a receiver, which is actually a tight end. One of the tight ends is split wide to the left off the ball, and the quarterback split wide to the right on the ball. So that picture doesn't look like 23 personnel. One of the tight ends is split, quarterback's out, two running backs in the backfield. It just makes you think a lot because you get the you get the card that says 23. You're like, okay, we're going big boy personnel. Let me gear up. Then they're in shotgun with a sidecar running back. You got a tight end out there or a quarterback out there, and you're trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Next thing you know, it's a direct snap, ISO, and the running back's leading through the hole for the other back, and they score a touchdown. They do stuff like that a lot. It's usually not that extreme, but they'll go with some two tight end sets with that look like 10 personnel where everyone's split out. They motion those tight ends to try and run the ball a lot, to use them in the run game. So you cannot let them be able to do that and then run the ball, because if they do that, that's when they really start to get rolling. They can go play action, hit you downfield. It's a lot of pro-style concepts in the pass game. Marcus Arroyo's got a long history in the NFL, former head coach of UNLV, but has a ton of connections to the NFL. So you see a lot of that show up in the pass game. But if you're going to ask me, like, what would I rather? I would rather, if you're Mississippi State, that you put it on the redshirt freshman, Sam Levin, say, all right, go beat us. You know, we'll test some of these young corners with your receivers and see if we can hold up.
It's college football. You only get 12 games a year. These are two teams that were picked towards the bottom of their respective conferences. They both would like to go to a bowl game in year one. So this is a hugely important game for both teams. Can you say it's significantly more important to either team? Is it more important to State, more important to Arizona State, or is it just, hey, this is a must-win for both of these teams?
I think it's a must-win for both. However, I think that because of the schedule for Mississippi State, being in the SEC and having that sort of clear division of look, this would be a massive upset with some of these teams, I think it's more important for Mississippi State, because if you're going to get to a bowl game, you got to be 4-0 in the non-con. You got to have Eastern Kentucky, Arizona State, Toledo, and Massachusetts in your pocket. And then it gives you a little bit of wiggle room. You got Florida, you got Arkansas, and you can, if you win both of those games, now you're in a bowl game. If you were to fall to Arizona State, then you look at Florida and Arkansas, you can win both of those. And you're having to beat Texas A&M at home, or you're having to go on the road and beat Tennessee, or you're having to beat Missouri at home, or you're having to go on the road and beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, which all of those, like, it's college football, can happen. but it's not something that you can hang your hat on going into the league, especially because, you know, I count 1, 2, 3 top 10 teams on the schedule right now. Yeah. Tennessee ranked, Texas A&M. Are they still ranked? They might still be ranked after last week. Ranked, they're still ranked. Missouri, by the way, haven't even mentioned them. A team that was in the Cotton Bowl last year. So I think it's more important to Mississippi State. When you look at Arizona State's schedule, yes, it's important to them. They get Texas State in the non-con, but it's not as the top is not as strong in the Big 12 as it is in the SEC. So like an at Texas Tech, especially after their performance against Abilene Christian, that looks like a winnable game. Kansas is good, Utah's good, but at Cincinnati, winnable. UCF, we'll see what they bring. I think they'll be better, but winnable. BYU at home, winnable. So I think there's more winnable games, clearly winnable games for Arizona State after this than there are Mississippi State. So I think it's more important for the Bulldogs.
We shall see. I'm an old man, Roddy. I hope I can stay up for this one. I'm gonna do my best to watch the whole game. I don't know if I can make it, and if not, you know, I'll just have to watch the replay, I guess. Roddy Jones, ESPN. Enjoy your time in Tempe with the Bulldogs this weekend, man. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. It's my first trip to Arizona State. I'm looking forward to it. I am with you. I got three little kids. We go to bed at like 9:30 Eastern time here. So it is going to be a struggle for your boy to try and figure out what my schedule is game day to make sure I'm good to go at 10:30 Eastern.
Good luck, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks to Roddy. Appreciate his time. Tomorrow's show will be 3 P's, preview, playmakers, and predictions for Mississippi State and Arizona State. Huge game for both of these schools, as you heard me talk about with Roddy right there. For Mississippi State, a win would almost certainly give them a great chance at being a bowl team. A loss will make it very, very difficult for them to be one. So a lot on the line for Jeff Lebby in his first road game as Mississippi State's head coach. We'll preview it all tomorrow. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.